So our text for this morning's meditation is from Matthew chapter 25. These words, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, would that we watch. That is, be vigilant in our waiting for his return on the last day. Now that seems simple enough, doesn't it? I mean, it's pretty easy to watch. To watch for the Amazon truck after we get that text on our phone that tells us that our package is out for delivery. It's easy to wait. To be vigilant when our spouse runs into Cub or Aldi to pick up just a couple of things, leaving us for a moment, just a moment, in the car. For it's easy to wait and to watch when we know that the time is limited, when we know with certainty the outer parameter, the approximate time of when exactly something will happen. Harder, and that is almost impossible, is waiting for something to happen when we have no idea when it is that that thing is going to happen. That's hard. I mean, we would like to continue to think about it and should continue to think about it, but well, life and everything that life is gets in the way, and we forget. We forget that that thing's going to happen. I remember as a kid being promised a couple of times by friends or relatives that we were going to go do something, like go fishing or something like that. Whatever it was that would have gotten me excited at that time. And I would wait expectantly and would watch and think every time the phone would ring that what was promised was going to actually happen. But the longer I waited and the longer it didn't happen, the less I expected it to happen, and eventually I forgot about it altogether. So let's not kid ourselves. We can do the same thing, the very same thing, when it comes to the return of Jesus Christ on the last day, to his promise to reappear that could happen any day, any hour, any moment. I mean, it's been almost 2,000 years. 2,000 years since Christ ascended into heaven, and throughout those 2,000 years, generation after generation after generation of Christians have been told to always be ready. Be ready for the return of Christ. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Only to have their lives come to an end before Christ reappeared. 2,000 years. But hold on for a moment. 2,000 years is only half the amount of time that it took for the fulfillment of the appearance of the Christ, the Messiah, on earth the first time. That promise, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was first made to Adam and Eve immediately after they had disregarded what God, our Heavenly Father, had said to them, and so introduced sin into the world, that is, disobedience, and as a result, death. I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So words, Satan, how the first gospel promise ultimately was made. But it would be 4,000 years after that promise was made, before Simeon would hold the baby Jesus in his arms and say, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." 4,000 years! 4,000 years between the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise. Why? Why the 4,000? The 4,000 years? Well, God's ways, they're not our ways. And God's thoughts, they're not our thoughts. And with God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. So Christians of whatever age have always been told, and rightly so, as we ourselves are told, and rightly so, this morning, that we are to watch for the return of Christ, for we do not know neither the day nor the hour of his return. Now, the new man within us has to fight with the old Adam about this. For the old Adam doesn't want to wait for anything, and the old Adam is a cynic and a skeptic and would wag his head within us, saying, much like those who wagged their heads at Christ as he was hanging on the cross, Christ is coming back, is he? I don't see him. Not even a sign of him. So forget about it. Forget about the return of Christ. Eat, drink, be merry, and then just die. So our old Adam, our new man that lives daily in joy, basking in the free forgiveness which is ours in Christ Jesus, daily, even as we await for him to return, our new man, what does he think about Christ's return? How can he stay vigilant? How can he watch for the return of Christ, knowing it has already been a wait of almost 2,000 years? How can he do it? Perhaps here we can think about those hope chests. Remember those? Those hope chests? Do you remember? Remember what they were? Hope chests? Hope chests were wooden chests, boxes with a lid on them of decent size, into which young girls would place items that they'd make or receive throughout their childhood and into their teenage years for the day they would marry. Now, the funny thing about hope chests is that they would be filled with such things throughout a girl's life, even though the girl filling them would not even know. She wouldn't even know when she was getting married. And she wouldn't know to whom she was getting married or whether or not she was even getting married at all. Still, there'd be the wooden chest, the hope chest, which would be filled with all manners of things in eager expectation for the unknown wedding day. Now, that's not a bad example for us, is it, of how we can look forward to the return of Christ in the last day, and especially how we can wait and be watchful for the return of Christ, even though we don't know when it will be? No, it's not that we have to build a chest, a box, or something to hold the clothes we will wear on the day that Christ returns, but we will remain busy and busy ourselves with that which we need to be prepared for when Christ does, in fact, return. So what is it, then, that we need? What do we need for the return of Christ? We need faith, don't we? Faith in Jesus Christ, which clothes us with his righteousness, his holiness. If we have faith in Jesus, we'll always be prepared for his return. And as we await his return, what can we do to maintain the faith which we possess? Well, we maintain our faith in Jesus by regularly hearing his word, by hearing the preaching of his word, by regularly confessing our sins and receiving absolution, forgiveness for our sins. We may maintain our faith in Jesus Christ by receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and receiving it as often as it is offered to us. Imagine, therefore, a conversation with a friend or a neighbor that kind of goes like this. So our neighbor, he begins it. So say, I see you go to church, and I notice you go quite often, almost every Sunday. We respond, well, we're just preparing for the return of Christ by staying watchful and waiting with patience and hope. What? So our neighbor. You mean you just kind of go to church every Sunday and you sit around and you kind of stare up into the sky? Maybe the ceiling? Maybe you look out the window or the door? I mean, do you think that Christ is going to return to the earth every Sunday morning? We again, no, it's not so much a staring up into the sky as a receiving of that which we need to prepare for his return. And that's faith. Faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior from sin and death. I go to church in order that my faith can be strengthened and I can remain strong. I mean, you go to the gym, don't you? our neighbor. Well, yeah, I go about 3 times a week. Well, why do you go to the gym 3 times a week? Well, as I'm getting older, I'm just getting weaker, and if I don't go to the gym and exercise, I can't even do the basic daily activities of life in order to live. I guess you could say I need to strengthen myself to live. Well, that's what I'm doing at church every week. There I'm being strengthened so much, not so much physically, but spiritually, to live and to await with confidence and courage the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, do you know when that's going to happen? No, I don't. That is why I need constantly, perpetually, to remain strong in faith. You know, it is interesting that throughout the church here, we talk frequently about the need for faith in Jesus Christ. How that faith is a free gift of God to us, as we read in Ephesians 2. How it's a creation of the Holy Spirit within us, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. How we must be born again by water and the Spirit through our baptisms into Christ so that faith can be created within us, as we read in John 3. How does the Holy Spirit create faith? Through the hearing of the Word of God, as we read in Romans 10. In living in faith each day, we can and are comforted in the face of trial and turmoil within our lives, as through faith we have become not only brothers and sisters in Christ, but members of the body of Christ and of each other, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. Faith is that living water about which Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, about the living water that springs up to eternal life. In Ephesians 6, faith is described even as a shield that can extinguish the flaming arrows shot at us by the devil in this world. There's all sorts of ways that faith is talked about in the Bible. But here this morning, on the last Sunday of the church year, the Sunday upon which we contemplate and even celebrate the return of our Lord and Savior on the last day to take us to be with Him in His heavenly home, faith is that which allows us to wait. Faith is that which allows us to wait for His return with vigilance, always being ready for it. In the gospel reading, faith is the oil in the lamps of the wise virgins of the parable with faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we are ready, and also we need not worry. We need not worry. And perhaps that's why among Christians, strong in faith, trying to figure out exactly when Christ will return, it's just not that interesting of a topic. Why not? Why isn't the exact day of the return of Christ that important to us? Well, first of all, we'll never figure it out, for even Christ Himself didn't know what day that would be. And if Christ did not know, neither will we, ever, until it actually happens. And secondly, we don't need to figure out the exact date of the return of Christ, for by having faith in Jesus and that faith strengthened weekly in worship through the hearing of His Word and the reception of the sacraments, we're always ready for it. Always ready for the return of Christ. And that being so, that allows us to spend our time doing other things, chiefly serving each other in love. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ therefore frees us to live in these end times by humbly serving our neighbor in love. Why? We have faith. Here I think of my sweet mate in college, Frank. Frank was quite brilliant. He graduated with honors in classical Greek. He's a pastor now in Illinois. While I love studying Greek, I struggled through every lesson, and it would take me a couple hours to work through the sentences and memorize the vocabulary words and the grammatical points, but without fail, having finished my lesson and heading off to the bathroom to get ready for bed, I'd peer into Frank's room, and Frank would be sitting in a rocking chair reading a novel. He's reading a novel because he had finished his Greek lesson right after supper. And next day, he would easily ace the quiz we had every day in Greek. He had a mind like that, still does. He could look at something once and remember it. And so that freed up his evenings to do other things. And he did, like volunteering at a local nursing home. I've always remembered that about Frank. And we should always remember that faith in Jesus does the same thing for us when it comes to the last day. It allows us to remain vigilant, always ready, and because we are always ready, we can do something else. That is, we can serve our neighbor in love. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostle.